Today's gospel has not just one, but two nasty twists to it. The first nasty twist, of course, is when these tenants who are ungrateful and greedy go all the way as killing the owner's own son to try and hold on to what they've got. Of course, we could kind of see that coming. Clearly, the landlord couldn't. But the other twist is the twist where Jesus suddenly applies this parable to the people who are listening to him. So you have to understand that the chief priests were part of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people had heard God's word. God himself had chosen them of all the peoples on the world and had talked to them and told them about himself. Told them that there was only one God. There weren't gods in the sky. There weren't gods in the rivers. There wasn't a god of war and a goddess of love. But really there was only one God. And he was the only one God. And so the Jewish people had, over generation after generation, accepted this truth. And from time to time, they would worship other gods, and God would send prophets to remind them, I'm the only God. Prophets would say, thus says the Lord. And the people would usually beat them, and sometimes they would kill them because they didn't want to hear what the prophets had to say. So that's what Jesus is talking about with the servants that are sent by the landlord. So the Jewish people had their temple, and in the temple they worshiped the only true God. And the most important people were the chief priests, because they were the ones who led the worship of the true God. So here they're thinking of themselves as the chosen people within the chosen people. This is the creme de la creme, you know? These are the best people there are. All the other nations worship the false gods. We worship the true God. And only us, special people, can get inside the temple and worship God. So when Jesus says at the end that God isn't pleased with them, it's a shocking twist. How could God not be pleased with them? Of course, you have to feel sorry for these guys. They're thinking about how they can kill Jesus because they're mad at him, because they don't like what he's saying. And yet Jesus is God himself in the flesh, come to visit his own people. The chief priests should be offering their sacrifices to Jesus. He's the face of God. You can look into Jesus and you can see God face to face. But you know, unfortunately, they'd gotten comfortable with God being at a distance. And when God suddenly shows up, that makes them very uncomfortable. They don't like what he has to say. Well, the message of Jesus, the message that made the chief priests so uncomfortable, was that God wasn't going to need the temple anymore. For the time, God had used the temple to offer right worship. But now that Jesus has come in the flesh, he wants to have a relationship with every person, no matter who they are. He wants to get to know every single person face to face. So remember when Jesus dies on the cross, there's that detail that the veil in the temple is torn from top to bottom. The veil covered the Holy of Holies. What's God saying? He's saying, now there's no veil between me and my people. Jesus is the new mediator instead of the priests. And Jesus is there to have a relationship with every person through the Holy Spirit. So we find ourselves in the same position as the chief priests. Why? Because Jesus is here with us today. And in fact, he promised he would never leave us. Jesus is always with us at home, at work, at school, and here right now. And yet how often, just like the chief priest, do we miss the presence of Jesus? Do we think that God is distant and that he's letting us do our own thing? Too often we like God being at a distance, because that's uncomfortable when God gets in your face. We like to forget the fact that God is a person. He has a personality. What do I mean by this? Well, we know that every person in this room is a separate person, right? You don't have the same thoughts that I do. You have different feelings than I do. You have different desires than I do. You know things that I don't know. I know things that you don't know. We're separate people. were individuals. Well, all of us were made by God, and God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that means that when we think of God, God has a personality. God has feelings. God has desires. Now, you might get a little uncomfortable and say, that sounds like the Old Testament God to me, right? What makes us uncomfortable with this reading is not that it applies to us, but that God seems to be getting angry. God doesn't get angry. That's the Old Testament. There's God smiting people. He doesn't do that anymore. Well, so often we forget as though God didn't have any personality at all. As though God were just this warm, fuzzy love. Oh, God loves me. That's nice. But you forget. It's nice to be loved because the person doesn't have to. The fact that your mom is your mom or your dad is your dad, you don't thank him every day for being your mom or your dad. Probably don't thank him at all, except on Mother's Day or Father's Day, right? But they really didn't pick you anyway. I mean, you just sort of showed up. But the fact that they love you, they don't have to. And you know that. And that's why we're grateful when someone loves us. Because they're choosing to. That's a beautiful thing. So for God to love us, he has to choose to. That means that God could do otherwise. But God has chosen to love us. Now, what I mean when we don't let God be a person is this. When you were little, like 3 or 4, you thought that everybody thought the same things that you did. And everybody knew the same things that you did. That's why if you're playing, you know, games with your younger brother or sister, they think they can close their eyes and make the whole world disappear. Because they think that what they see is what everybody sees. So they play peekaboo and they think they've disappeared. They haven't. But they haven't figured that out yet. When you get a little older, like 4 or 5, you discover, I have different thoughts than my mom does. And my thoughts are better than my mom's. I have different feelings, different desires. I'm an individual, and so are they. But unfortunately, we've never gotten really to apply this to God. We don't realize that God has different thoughts and feelings and desires than we do. Most of the time when I pray, I'm either talking to myself or I'm talking to my own image of God. I'm not really talking to the real God. And frankly, I kind of go through my routine of prayer every day and don't really leave much room for God to talk. If I do ask God a question, I'll wait about 5 seconds and then I'll start thinking about 3 or 4 different ways that God could answer the question and I'll try to pick the one that he probably should be saying. That's not really having a relationship with God. And a lot of people in this room probably maybe don't really feel real good about yourselves. You probably feel like, gosh, no matter how hard I try, I just can't measure up. Just not good enough. And when you think of God, you think that God probably thinks the same thing about you. There's that person. He's always screwing up. There's that woman. She's just not good enough. Have you ever bothered to ask God what he thinks about you? Other people in this room are pretty comfortable with themselves. They're like, I'm good. I'm not a perfect person, but nobody's perfect. I live a pretty good life. Yeah, I do some bad things, but hey, everybody does it. I'm pretty happy with myself, and I think God's pretty happy with me too. Sounds like the chief priest, doesn't it? Have you ever bothered to ask God what he thinks? How he really feels about you? The whole thing makes us uncomfortable. Because we have visions of someone saying, well, God told me, you know, that could get dangerous. It could get dangerous, except that we're Christians. So we already know a lot about God. We know that he's sent his son Jesus to die for us. We know that he wants a relationship with each one of us. We know that he loves us. So if you pray and you think that God's telling you he hates you, that's not God talking. We know that. And if you think God's telling you to kill your neighbor, well, that's not God talking either. Because we know he loves your neighbor too. In fact, he loves each and every one of us. God's already given us the revelation of truth for the whole world. To speak the truth about himself into the lies that the devil created to keep us from discovering how much God loves us. But that's only gotten this far. We need to have a relationship with God so that God can speak his truth into our lives, into our hearts, so that our hearts can have the truth of God replacing the lies that we're carrying around, so we can begin to live life in union with God. So when we listen, what we're listening for God to share with us is how He thinks and feels about us, what He wants for us. And we hear a lot about that in our second reading, how all the things that are true and good and honorable and just and right, we need to think about those things. God's plan for each of us is for us to be fully alive, to live lives that are truly beautiful. Too often we'll set out on our own path, we'll go down the path that we think will lead to happiness, and it doesn't. God could have helped you with that if you let Him. One of my favorite saints, St. Ignatius of Loyola, he founded the Jesuit order, and he was a great soldier, and he loved being a soldier. And he had all these dreams about how he was going to be a successful soldier, win these great victories, eventually somehow convince the queen or the princess to marry him. That was his dream. But then he got injured in a battle. He was fighting the French at Pamplona, and he jumped through a wall and got hit in the legs with a cannonball. And he wound up in bed. As he was recuperating, he didn't have TV, so he started imagining him being successful in battle. But then he started reading the lives of the saints and the lives of Christ, and he started imagining, well, what if I did all these great things that these saints did? There's St. Francis fasting and praying and giving away all his stuff to the poor. What if I did that? What if I went to Jerusalem eating nothing but herbs and went on a pilgrimage? He said, what if I gave my life to Jesus? What if I was a successful soldier? What if I won the queen? So he went back and forth. He kind of imagined these scenarios for hours sometimes. Thank God you have TV, right? But he started to notice something. When he dreamed of being a soldier, he was happy. But after he stopped dreaming about it, it made him feel sad because he wasn't successful yet. When he dreamed of being a great saint and serving God, it made him feel happy too. But after he was done dreaming about it, he still kept feeling happy. And he started to wonder, maybe this one path won't actually lead me to happiness. Maybe this other path will. So he ended up giving up all his possessions, including his armor, and he ended up trying to serve Christ in whatever way he could. He made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and then he went to study theology. And he found the happiness that he'd been looking for. God had this great plan for him, but he couldn't see it because he was so busy with his own plan. When he finally had to sit and recuperate in this bed for a long time, he could be open to God's great plan. God has great plans for every one of you. We've got to be open to listening to that plan. So here's what Ignatius suggests when it comes to prayer. What St. Ignatius did to start his prayer was this. Before he prayed, he'd consider how God looking upon him. He'd consider how God looked upon him. And then, after maybe thinking of that for 20 seconds using his imagination, he would then tell God what he wanted to get out of prayer. Now, this may sound funny to us. First of all, how do we know how God looks at us? And second of all, why tell God what you want to get out of prayer? Doesn't God already know everything? Well, what he's doing is he's letting God be a person in his life. He's open to the idea that God might have something different planned for him when he begins his prayer. But he also voices his own prayers, just like it says in the second reading, have no anxiety at all, but with confidence make your petitions known to God. Well, how often does somebody come home cranky and they don't share, right? You ask your spouse, what's the matter? Nothing. Or your teenager comes home, stomps in the door, slams the door, goes upstairs to their room, slams the door up there. You know something's wrong, right? But they don't want to talk about it. Well, how often do we have something wrong, but we don't tell God about it? How can God help us if we don't talk to Him? This morning when I got up, I realized I had my annual meeting at St. Patrick this morning, and I was nervous about that. And I was nervous about it the whole morning. And finally, I prayed about it. I said, God, I'm nervous about my annual meeting. And I felt this real sense of peace. God wasn't going to help me until I asked Him to, until I shared it with Him. So what's our usual morning look like, right? We pray right away, right? Probably not. Probably the alarm goes off. and you slam the snooze for twice, and then finally you drag yourself out of bed and across the floor, and all of a sudden you're late already. So you rush to get ready, you're eating breakfast on the way to wherever you're going, to school or work or whatever. Then you run into the first thing and you forgot you needed to have that ready, so you're getting that ready. You run through the day with all this stuff. You got activities in the evening, so you can't stop for a real meal. You go through the drive-thru and say, well, we never do this, except that's the third time this week that you're going through the drive-thru. You rush home at the end of the day, you still have stuff to do. Finally, you collapse in bed too late because you missed your bedtime again, and the whole cycle's all ready to repeat the next day. And if I say, well, you should be praying every day, you're like, great, Father, I know that. How am I going to fit it in? The problem is that most of the activity of our day is a waste of time. Most of the activity of our day doesn't actually fulfill who we want to be as people. But we fill our lives with so much activity because we don't really know who we want to be as people. And we don't really know what's going to fulfill it, so maybe if I just add more stuff, I'll stumble on it. You ever thought about talking to God about it? You ever thought about starting your day a little different? Kneel down beside your bed and just spend 5 minutes in prayer, just asking God to bless your day, but then open to the fact that He's got a better plan. And then at the end of the day, when you finish, spend another 5 minutes in prayer, thanking God for the gifts of the day and asking Him to bless the next day. You'll find that if you start your day with prayer, the whole rest of the day goes better. You'll find that if you end your day with prayer, you get to bed a little earlier, and the next day starts better. I want to challenge you to try it. Well, I want you to try it for the whole month, okay? Try to pray every day for a month if you're not in the habit already. If you are in the habit, try to pray a little more. And next month at our family mass, you come up to me and you tell me how your month went. Did your October go better because you were praying? I'll bet you it does. Because God really wants to bless us, but we have to give Him the chance.